Welcome to Pain to Power, your go-to destination for real-life stories, genuine conversations, and a splash of reality, along with some real estate insights all in one place. I am your host, Kayla Cardona, and I invite you to join me on this transformative journey. Together, we'll delve into raw, unfiltered talks and experiences of overcoming adversity, finding the path to resilience, and rising above the pain. This is the podcast that empowers you to break through the barriers, elevate your life in every aspect, and unlock your true potential, regardless of your circumstances. And of course, we'll sprinkle in some good laughs and entertainment along the way. Welcome to Pain to Power. Let's go.
So I thank you so much for joining us for another edition of Unleashing Kingdom Voices. This episode is brought to you by the world premier group, Girl Power Alliance. It's an opportunity for professional women to gain leverage compensation by leading women in personal and professional development, leadership in coaching, and speaking. So if you want more information, do check the link down below. We'll give you a 24-hour sneak peek into Girl Power Alliance. Well, this young lady that is going to be on my guest, let me just say she epitomized the name change of Unleashing Kingdom Voices. I'm going to introduce you to Kayla Cardona. Listen, she's more than just a mom and a transformative speaker and coach, an amazing, successful realtor with the Oppenheim Group. But she really has a life-changing experience for you folks. Now, really, if you're with us, pause the podcast and go get a cup of coffee and a notebook, because I believe that you're going to hear faith and perseverance turning into resilience at its finest. So instead of just sitting here and talking, will you help me welcome Kayla Cardona. Hey, Kayla.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm great. So I met Kayla with Girl Power Alliance. She was a guest on a Wednesday. I guess you know the CEO real well, Michelle Schaefer, or you know her.
I know of her for many, many years when she was in Isagenics, and I kind of did that with her. Well, I tried to, and then it, you know, I had to make a decision. It was either that or get into real estate, and I made a decision. So,
wow. Yeah. That's fascinating, because I could tell Michelle was just beaming like a mother over your testimony. Now, Kayla will delve it to you straight, y'all. And, you know, I think to find the transformation, we need to hear a little bit about your story.
Yeah.
Touch on that a little.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously have heard, but I plan to write a book and eventually a Hollywood film because there's so many pieces and parts to my story. So I'll try my best to make it as quick as possible.
Yeah, I understand. And that's cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be challenging, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I grew up born and raised in Orange County. I had two different households. My parents divorced when I was one. So my stepmom and my dad were together. So I grew up in between two different households with my sister. And it was two very different beliefs in both households. You have, you know, my dad and my stepmom that were Christians. We would go to church every Sunday. But when we went home, nothing ever really aligned with everything that we were teaching. So at a very young age, I was already questioning God. Is he even real? Like it nothing ever made sense. And of course, you know, the church I went to was good, but I didn't understand anything. And then my mom's household, she was an atheist. I think she's dabbled in some of the witchcraft stuff. And so I was very confused at a very young age. So it was really tough. My mom basically made it a living hell for my dad. It was really sad. I remember my dad coming up to me and my sister, and he basically, you know, told us that he wouldn't hug us or kiss us, because every time he would, you know, give us affection, my mom would call the cops saying that he has sexually harassed us. Obviously, none of that has ever been true, but at such a young age, not getting that, love from your father, it was really hard as a young girl.
Brutal.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, that's just one thing. I mean, it was hard throughout my whole childhood. Mm. And, you know, so it was survival mode. I was the younger sister, but I was very protective over my older sister. And, you know, it was tough. So, but going into high school, I feel like things started kind of looking up a little bit more. I started coming into my own. I started doing things that made me happy, like dancing and things like that. And then at the age of 17, I got pregnant, and that was unacceptable in my family. But abortion was not an option. So they gave me an ultimatum. They basically said, you know, for you to find an adoption family or to give up my child or keep my child and leave home. Well, considering my parents were very, very strict, I remember always being grounded. I never had the best grades. Come to find out in my adult life, I found out I actually have mild dyslexia, ADD, and ADHD.
Wow.
But my parents never looked into if I have any issues, right? To, you know, but I had a learning disability, and it's been really tough. It still is, and I'm learning from it. And I'm definitely getting better. I mean, now I'm speaking on stages. I think I'm doing okay. But,
but the trauma just heightened that. I mean, you're in the midst of some of the most severe trauma. So even if you do have those things, my goodness, I'm so glad I'm talking to you sitting on this couch, because that is not, I know the path of that. That is brutal.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you had a challenge, though. You went into high school, started to find your own, but another challenge presented.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, you know, I've as a sheltered child and not having any real life experience, of course, I found an adoption family to take my son. And 7 months pregnant, something very empowering came over me. I didn't know what it was at the time, but now what I know now, it was God speaking through me, because all of a sudden I had this confidence, came up to my parents and said, I'm going to keep my son. And everything inside of me was telling me to keep him.
Wow.
And that's when they basically drove me to a shelter, signed me off. And that was that. So I left home and
You had your child yet when they dropped you off, or were you still pregnant?
I was still pregnant at 17.
Oh, bless you. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it was obviously that was hard because I lost what I thought I had, and my family, I thought they, you know, loved me. So that started a whole, you know, I started feeling unworthy, undeserving. Why don't my parents love me? Why is this wrong? But everything inside of me told me that I had to fight for my son. So, and then when I disappeared, because a lot of people ask, you know, like, what happened to the dad? So, I was not, able to communicate. I didn't have a phone or anything. So I had my sister come pick me up from the shelter to take me, to give me a ride to the father of my son's house to let him know what happened, why I disappeared, where I was. And, you know, being pregnant at 17 and losing my family, I thought it made the most sense to tell him, you know, let's get married and do this whole family thing. And then that's when he basically told me that he got another girl pregnant and they're getting married. Oh. So it did not work out.
I'm the knife turn.
Yeah. So it was after that. I mean, honestly, I don't remember much. I have very bad memory loss.
Sure.
I just remember somehow I ended up back at the shelter and I was just a shell. I had no soul. I didn't know what I was doing. I don't know what was going to happen. And you know, it was a mess. And then on my 18th birthday, I was transferred to another shelter because I was no longer a minor. The first shelter I lived in was for minors.
Okay.
So I transferred to another shelter in the city of Orange, and I was the youngest one, and all the women in that home just like kind of treated me like their little daughter or sister. Wow. And I started feeling more love and,
amazing.
Yeah. So I finished high school. I got my first car. I got my driver's license. So I started kind of seeing progress, you know, I started kind of feeling better about myself. And Eventually, I left the shelter, started renting rooms off Craigslist.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Yeah. Back then, it was $500 a month. So. Yeah. I mean, they weren't the best places. You know?
But you at least had a room. You know, I know you were. There was a point where you were a go-getter. I think it was because, hey, this is my son. I'm going to provide. Mm-hmm. So what were some of the first jobs that you were even able to take your son? I believe I remember.
Oh, my gosh. Every single job you can think of, I've done it. I've worked at kiosks. I worked at the malls. I sold makeup. I tried to do life insurance. I was an Exelis technician. I did bottle service. I did bartending every night. I did it all.
Yeah.
But the good news is that I was so young that I had the energy to do it.
Yeah. Because you were always like two jobs and doing something. Take us to the, I think it was the beauty salon where you would take your son, but then they started complaining and you found an angel to take care of your son. I'd love to hear that story.
Oh, yes. So for backstory, so people understand, I did end up going to beauty school. I got my cosmetology license and then I got into hair and makeup. So I started building my business from there. And then eventually I went to men's hair. So I went back to school, got my barber license and became a barber. So, but I started off at a men's salon. And then that's when Jordan was probably, oh my gosh, 5 or 6. So he's a ball of energy, right? Okay. So I would bring him to the salon on my lunch break. I would go pick him up from school and then bring him back to the salon. And he would hang out in the back until I finished my day's work.
Wow.
I couldn't afford a babysitter. So, you know, then that's when things, clients apparently started complaining. It was a men's salon, guys. So a bunch of grown guys were complaining that there was a child in the salon. Like, how pathetic is that?
That's pathetic.
Anyways, this is Orange County.
Okay.
So the owner came up to me and she was a single mom too. So she understood me and she basically was like, you know, listen, I understand your situation is difficult, but I'm so sorry. You have to get a babysitter. And I'm like, I cannot afford one. I believe I was still like on food stamps. Like I was, you know, in the government system, it was hard. So, one of the hairstylists told me about this woman named Lupe and, told, you know, she said, listen, just give her a shot, talk to her. You literally have nothing to lose. So I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. So I meet this woman and, I'm very, at this point in my life, I'm very standoffish. I'm like, okay. I don't get close to people. I have a super guard up. I'm
sure.
Like, everyone has hurt me. Like I'm trying not to get close to anyone. Right. So, she basically meets my son and what I didn't know until after was, she just lost her grandson, not lost. Like he's fine. He's alive. Okay. But I meant, there was some legal customs going on where she wasn't able to see her grandson at all.
Oh, wow.
And they were about the same age. So my son kind of replaced that at what she lost, where she wasn't able to see her grandson. And she basically looked at me. She's like, listen, Kayla, I'll take care of Jordan. Just pay me when you can. And no joke, she watched my son for free for a whole year.
I'm beautiful.
Oh, she was sent from God. I don't know what I would have done without her.
Yeah.
And then when I was able to pay her, I mean, I was like, here, take all my money. I was so thankful and grateful, you know? And that was like, she was a godsend and I didn't realize it at the time, but God has always had his hand on me throughout this whole process. I mean, I just had another podcast interview this morning before speaking to you, Teresa. And it's so incredible because when I just committed to God for the first time last summer.
Good.
And then it was like all these flashbacks came to my mind. And it was like every single time I could have been murdered, I could have been taken advantage of, I could have been raped, anything could have happened to me. I've never shared this before, but there was a time before I bought my car, I was walking the streets of Santa Ana to take buses with my baby in one hand and my diaper bag and backpack on the other hand. I'm a whole 5'2". Okay. I'm a tiny little girl. And imagine like walking the streets at the time. It wasn't as safe as it is now.
Right.
I was being catcalled wherever I went. I did it in the rain when it was windy, Santa Ana winds. Wow. We all know about that. So it's like, there were so many moments that just came to mind where I was like, I could have been taken aback. They could have taken my son. There were just so many terrible things that started going through my head. I'm like, God has been protecting us the entire time. And I didn't know. I didn't realize.
Yeah, such purpose. That's got to speak to someone. You're in the dumps. God hasn't forgotten you. He can bring you. What's her name? Lupe?
Lupe, yeah.
Lupe. And Lupe was, that's amazing what you just shared. Lupe was kind of taking your son to church and talking the Lord to him, and while you were working, and that's just God working, isn't it?
Yeah, because my son had a relationship with God way before I came to God. Yeah.
What did he say when you found out you got saved? Did he say, "It's about time, Mom"? Is that what he said?
He was like, "It's about time. I've been praying for this for years."
Oh my gosh. Oh, yeah. No, that is so. And I know that's going to speak to someone, how God can protect you in the midst of your junk. Yeah. So let me take another turn. This one, we kind of talked off camera, so I didn't ask offensive questions, but how in the world did you land the Netflix reality show? Is it Selling the OC? Is that what it is?
Yes, Selling the OC.
You must have been a good realtor before then, or when did you get your realtor's license?
So I got my license in 2019.
Very good.
Yeah. So I got my license in 2019. I was an assistant for a top producer at another brokerage down in San Clemente. That's where I started my real estate career.
Very nice.
Yeah, for about a year. So I was very blessed to find that position because they just threw me in with the sharks. They're like, "Here, you're going to learn today." I would have 12-hour days. I was still cutting hair. I was still bartending.
Wow.
So I was just, you know, making it work. Cause for everyone listening, you know, if you're getting into real estate, just plan that, hey, listen, you're not going to make money for the first couple of years. You're going to have to get a second job, maybe even a third job to make ends meet until you get there. But, you have to keep pushing. You have to keep going. Otherwise, you know, that's just the name of the game. It's not for everyone, but if you want it, you have to go get it.
It definitely displays how hard worker you. It's almost like you were predisposed to that because you'd already survived.
So, yeah, you know, I was built for that for sure.
No doubt. There's a little 5'2 woman everywhere. And then she goes into real estate. So you start to get successful, but how did the Oppenheimer, is I'm saying it right? How did that cross over to them? I mean, I think it's fascinating. I don't think he talked about this.
No. So it's the Oppenheimer group, but it's okay.
How do you say it again?
Oppenheimer.
Sorry,
it's
sorry,
okay.
Guys.
Everyone
sorry,
says,
sorry, sorry.
No, it's okay. People say Oppenheimer too. And I'm just like, there's no ER.
Yeah. Funny. And they're like one of the best realtors. And so I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Guys.
No, don't be sorry. Everyone gets their name messed up.
Okay.
So 6 months in, meaning, so I assisted for a year, and then 6 months in, I became an actual like realtor on that team. And I was doing great. I was closing 1 to 2 deals a month. And then they reached out to me on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah. And I asked them, I'm like, "How'd you guys find me?" And they said that another realtor woman actually referred me. And I don't know who she is. I wish I did so I could like thank her. But yeah, they found me on Instagram. I thought it was a scam when I saw their first DM. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I deleted it.
Oh,
and then
my gosh.
And then they found my email and they emailed me and the signature said Dun & Dun Productions. I was like, huh? And then, so of course I Googled it. I was like, oh, wait, what, this might be real. So I kind of entertained it a little bit, but then the first time I actually said no, because I asked them, I said, "Listen, do I have to leave my brokerage to join this show?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, you would have to join the Oppenheimer group." And I said, "Well, then I'm not going to do it because I'm very loyal to them." And then as time went by, and this was during COVID, so everything was delayed.
Yeah.
But as time went by, you know, they reached out again, actually. And they're just like, you know, we just kind of want to check in. And I'm just like, and things were already kind of happening at my old brokerage that was making me question if my time was up there. Yeah. Okay. So I was like, okay, let me just entertain it. Like, no commitment. Nothing's really going to happen. Like, and in my head, I was thinking, I'm probably not even going to make it anyways. Like, you know, let me just do it for the experience. Right.
Okay.
So I went through the interview process, and then I didn't hear from them for like months, like 4 or 5 months. And I actually forgot about them. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And then they reached out again, asking for photos of me and my son when he was a baby. And I was like, oh, wait, you guys are still doing this? And they're like, yeah, delayed, COVID, da da da. So I was like, oh, okay. So I sent them videos or photos, whatever. And then, yeah, long story short, ended up on a call with Adam DeVillo himself, which, by the way, I didn't even own a TV at the time. I'd never had a TV. So I didn't even know who Adam DeVillo was, let alone how he looked like. And I find out later, I'm on this call with Adam DeVillo, which is the main producer. And he also made The OC. And I think we're going to Beecher the Hills. I don't know. I can't keep up because I've never seen any of those shows. And he was like, yeah, we would like to cast you. And it took a minute for it to process. And I remember him saying, are you excited? I'm like, yeah, but like, what? I was so, because I didn't think it was going to like actually happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So for those who don't know the show, give a little brief rundown of what the show's about. Because some people are like, what? Netflix? So, yeah, because it's fascinating. Yeah.
So it's supposed to be about real estate, but when you watch it, it's not about real estate. it's drama.
There's all this drama. But I will say, I have never seen Homes like that. I mean, I do enjoy watching it just so I could, you know, see you, but I enjoy watching it. There's homes I couldn't even fathom. Like that home would be in heaven, but it's right down there in Orange County. So you're in this office. Can I just interpret? And Kayla told me she wasn't saved then, but you see something. Once again, I think the hand of God was on your life. You see really from season one to season two. And I think I just finished. Is it season three?
So season three comes out probably March or April. So I think they announce it.
Yeah. I will say from season one to season two, you were different. There was, I think the hand of God was already on your life because you kind of proved the bees that they were wrong in season one. And then in season two, you just stood your ground. And I remember, I got to tell you this. I remember the first episode, I think it was, you had just sold like a major. And I'm like, yes, I'm getting so involved. Yes, go, Kayla. And I don't care. I do not care that you were not saved then because God was working on you for that moment. But can I say to you, I saw character. I saw you stand up against those women. It's really drama, guys. I mean, don't watch it if you can't handle a bunch of drama, but watch it to cheer Kayla on, even just the same. Okay, so that we got that one. I just wanted to ask.
Thank you.
Are you going to be on season three then, but you weren't saved then? Is that correct?
I sure am.
Okay.
But season three, I think, will be the best for me at least.
Okay. And let me explain to them, you probably can too, but these are people who are in reality TV. There was a strike going on. So these reality TVs, popped up. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I know I have a friend who was interviewed by someone in one of these shows, not this one. You're sleep deprived. You don't get a lot to eat and they pour alcohol down you. Is that about right?
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So imagine that, guys. Yeah. I mean, put yourself in her place.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't drink a beer without food. I don't drink much anymore. I love a good beer. But anyway, so we get that up. Mm. So now God is working. This is what I think I said off camera, or maybe I've said this already. But when someone like Kayla faces her stuff, and she faces her mental stuff, and she doesn't stuff it, what comes out, what you're going to see, what you're seeing right now is wisdom and insight that turns into transformation power to minister to people. And Kayla, I know I'm praying for your webinar tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time, because there are so many women that are, they need your word. They need your example. Then you know what testimony means in Hebrew? It means do it again, God. So you're a living, breathing testimony for women who can understand trauma. Girl, I can understand trauma. I was in 26 years. I can say, because I'm not, it's my story of a marriage that where I was married to a narcissist. So I know what it means to get that caked off mental stuff, to be able to find yourself and to be able to be, find your voice, to be proud of yourself. So tell us, talk to us through that curve now where God is setting up stages. He's setting up your coaching business. How did that come about, and how do you feel where you are now with that responsibility, really, of meeting women? Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you. That was beautiful. No one has ever asked me that before, so thank you for that. Yeah. No, I really appreciate it. So I actually started – a lot of people don't know this. I started getting involved into the personal development world as far as sharing my stories, speaking on stages – back in 2019, actually. Nice. And I even started my podcast called Pain to Power, which I just brought back, by the way.
Good job.
Yes, I know. Like years later, I was like, God was tugging at me. He was like, you need to do this. And I'm like, I have too much on my plate. He's like, nope, you need to do this. I'm like, fine. So I did it. I brought it back. So yeah, you guys can find that on all podcast platforms.
Pain to Power. Awesome.
Pain to Power with Kayla Cardona. So I was already in that world, and it was already like tugging at my heart. Like I knew it was something I've always wanted to do. Well, you know, obviously when COVID happened, just like the rest of the world, I went into a deep depression because I started focusing on things that I could not control. And I started, you know, learning about what's been going on with politics and the vaccines and being a mama bear. You know, I was becoming overprotective, and I'm like, why does my son have to do vaccine? You know, and I don't want to make this about like
I understand
politics that. Stuff, but like, you know, so I'm just like, it was a dark time for me, and I stopped investing in myself. I stopped learning. I stopped working out. I stopped working on myself. I just got in this weird place.
Oh, bless
and,
you.
You know, I just feel like that a lot of people can relate to that because it took some time to get out of that rut. Right. Mm. So, you know, I think what happened was, I think I've been so hard-headed and stubborn for all my life for so long that God literally had to say, okay, if you cannot see me, let me go ahead and put you on a TV screen so you can see yourself to see what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, that's so amazing. That blows me away, but it's true. Okay.
Yes. It was like, you have to see it for yourself. Yeah.
Oh
my gosh. So because it really wasn't, Teresa, until I saw myself on TV and I go, what's happening? What is this? Like, I would, you know, don't get me wrong, I wasn't like terrible. Obviously, my authenticity was showing and I related to a lot of people. I started sharing my story and all the things. But there was things that I've done and said and behaviors that I was not proud of. And I just looked at myself. I'm like, and also like I was caring about what people were thinking about me, and I was crying about everything. I was emotional. I overdrank. Half of the time I was blacked out because I was drunk off of tequila. And I mixed with champagne. It was terrible.
That will do it.
Yeah. So I'm just like, what am I doing? And so I finally got to a place where I was like, something needs to change right now. And then I would question, why am I even on this show? Why did God even give this opportunity to me? Wow. And really, I finally realized, and it finally hit me, is that he had to make me see my own self on TV to see what needs to change. I needed to find him, obviously. Yeah. I found him a little bit after season one came out. Well, obviously last summer, but it took me some time. Again, I was still very stubborn.
Okay. Yeah.
But also it gave me a platform to reach more people. So it made me, so I started again, I released the old identity. I released toxic people that were around me. I kept people close to me that I knew genuinely cared for me, which is so extremely important.
Oh gosh. Write that down, guys.
And then I started meeting the right people, right? So when you, when you clear out the toxicity and you clear out the bad people around you, bad energy, you make room for good to come to you, right?
So good. Yeah.
So that's when things started, right people started coming into my life. So then, you know, obviously it wasn't really until I had an encounter with God. And then this is something that I haven't really shared with a lot of people. And I did not share on Michelle's call. So I'm going to share it with you.
Okay.
So there was a lot more that happened after my encounter with God. I didn't realize it was him until sometime after. And it wasn't until I met this powerful Christian couple that are doing very well in life. And they're very, they're life coaches. They are speakers as well. And they told me an experience that they had about a deliverance. So then I was like, that's it, that I need to do that. Yeah. And so I got their contact. I went through the deliverance, and that's when everything just freaking hit me.
Yeah.
And it was such a crazy experience for all the Christians listening to this. If you do not know about a deliverance, go look it up. And, or if you're thinking about doing it, you need to do it.
And find reputable people who are, I know exactly what you're saying. I think every Christian should go through deliverance. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's okay.
But yeah. But make sure you find the right one, because I know exactly what she's unveiling. There's something when you meet the face of God and you have people around you that allow you to walk from this stuff that's a hold on you. It's evil, it's the enemy. Right. But when you walk into the light, what's revealed in the light is covered in the blood. And tell me, did you just feel like 20 pounds, if not more, lifted after you went through that?
Oh my gosh, I felt like I was glowing.
You probably were.
I was like, and let me tell you something. The biggest demon that was inside of me was the spirit of rejection.
Oh, Jesus.
And it just all made sense. I'm like, oh my gosh, it went back all the way to my childhood. I mean, I was sweating. My body was being thrown back and forth. But it didn't hurt, obviously.
Right.
Because, you know, Satan and the demons don't have the authority to hurt us.
Come on.
So I wasn't scared. I felt very safe. I knew that my angels and God was surrounding me and protecting me. It just needed to be done. And after that, I said, okay, let's get to work. And I started stepping into what I knew I should be doing. Life coaching, brought my podcast back. Then I started meeting all these people. Then I started getting all these speaking gigs. I'm getting all these stages. I'm like, okay, God, like, dang, I know you want to work through me, but I love this. You start opening all these crazy doors, and I'm just like, wow, here we go. Let's go.
But isn't God cool that he wanted to make sure that the deliverance happened? I think of it, the deliverance happened, and all those rejection and all those hurts, they became scars. So you can speak from your scars. You can't speak from, like, let's say you didn't get the deliverance. Your emotions and everything would be all over. You'd step on stage and, you know, rejection would hit you. It's like God is so good. And I know that there are women listening who need you. And I'm so excited because you've gone through hell and have come out glowing. And that's possible. Someone's listening right now on this podcast. You need to, if it's deliverance, you need to find someone that is reputable that you really can trust. Okay. Because a lot of people say they're deliverance. Some people call it sozos, but I think Kayla is talking about a full on deliverance. And I believe in it, because you may be a Christian, but there are demons that want to continue to take up residence inside of you. And guess what? Kayla said it. We're not subject to them. They're subject to us because we got the Holy Spirit in us. So take that confidence. Wait, I'm not subject to this. It's subject to me because Jesus is in me. Whoa, get me excited. Oh,
I love it. I love it. It's so beautiful. So and now, then, of course, they're going to try to creep in. And then, you know, you learn about, you know, and I learned so much just within that 3-hour session. And I'm just like, wow. So whenever I have any sort of fear or start getting in my head or doubt or imposter syndrome,
I was just going to say imposter syndrome.
Yeah. I'm just like,
how do you battle that?
Oh, I just say, I rebuke you. Good. I know you don't belong here. Thanks for stopping by, but get out. You're done.
Golly.
And gold, I just, guys. Yeah, sometimes I'll even like I call it my mom's voice, and I'll just like firmly ask, you do not belong here. Yeah. Get out. And when you really like hone into that, you take all the power away from that. Yeah. And then, you know, and then you ask, Lord, continue to fill me with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And you just move on.
Have you noticed now that you're walking in this, have you noticed it doesn't matter what you say, but you can enter rooms and you can feel that God is shifting the atmosphere through you. You're not patting yourself on your back. You just realize how big God is, and he set you up. Just by your presence, like just by your presence on this podcast, you are shifting the atmospheres of people, anyone listening. I think you're shifting atmospheres and they're not listening and they're drawn to this. Have you noticed that more? I'm just curious.
No, but you're not the first person that has told me this. I think it's because all I think about is how I can serve you and what message that I allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me, and it's whatever just comes up at the top of my mind and my heart. Yeah. And what I feel is the right, like, message that needs to be said for everyone to hear. It's like when I go on stage, I used to get scared. Now it's like, now I think about, I eliminate myself from the equation. Okay. And I just think about how can I serve at least one person in the crowd. Good. That's it. I don't think about I hear you and I appreciate that. And I love that so much that you say that, but I really don't think about that. And I also feel like I stay very humble.
Yeah.
So I just don't think like that.
Well, what I hear you saying is you understand that it's not about you. You're just represent him. So, you got something coming up tonight. I'm going to air this. Of course, so many are watching and commenting. Thank you, live. What you got tonight, and this is all part of, you know, I got to say something. You've got a powerful coaching program coming up. And I really believe that you had to go through that deliverance, because in the world's view, okay, I'm not the world, you're a young Christian. But God just like supercharged you. And I really think the deliverance is what's pushed you forward. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of people don't, please, on behalf of these old crusty Christians, I'm not crusty, but I'm old. Don't let anyone tell you you're too young to do this. Okay. I'm just going to come on out and say that. Oh, you haven't been in the, and don't go to seminary. No disrespect on seminary. You don't need that when you got what you got, what God's given you. So I just had to say that. Pouring that, I'm an old wise sage pouring that on you. So
sorry, I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm slowly every single morning I read a little bit in the Bible, and sometimes I'll randomly choose. I just allow God to guide me, and it will randomly just like, oh, you need to read this. I'm like, okay, let's go. So I start reading. But there was a part in there, and I'm really bad. I'm praying to God to give me the gift of memorization so that I could start like actually saying these scriptures. But there was a piece in the Bible that I read recently about how we do need to get connected with the older Christians and learn from their wisdom. So for you to speak that way, I want you to understand that I'm meant to connect with you. And I pray for people like you. And I want to be surrounded by more older Christians that have that wisdom, because there's so much I can learn from you.
That's awesome.
You're way appreciated.
I'm like, I believe we need more godmothers, godly wisdom in women who are raising up. Because I see, listen, Kayla, I can't speak to your audience. I can talk about AI to them, but I really can't transformatively speak to your audience. So that's why I really am. I mean, I'm in your grandstands for life. I'm waving my little white hanky. Okay, so you're going into coaching. So tell us a little bit about that. I know you have a free webinar, 6 p.m. PST. At Instagram is probably the best place to find you, at Ms. Kayla Cardona. Is that probably the best way?
Yeah, at Ms. Kayla Cardona. Right now you can go to kaylacardona.com to sign up for that free webinar.
I know that. That's great.
Okay. Yeah. And so right now it just takes you to my site to sign up for the free webinar, but it will be my official website. It's still under construction. Yeah.
That's fine. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But when we get off, I'm going to say this publicly, don't go anywhere, because I want to give you AI. I want to give you some reels of you sharing your story here, and then you can share it wherever you want. So sure. I'm into AI. I'm an old sage who loves artificial intelligence. So anyway.
I don't know anything about that. So.
Oh, we need to get together and make it easy, girl. I'm serious. I believe that people who go, ooh, we're kind of going off subject, but can I go here? They go, ooh, artificial intelligence from the devil. And I'm like, no, it's not. Okay, see this pen?
No.
This is a tool. It can be used for good things. And it can be used for evil things. Look at the internet. It can be used for good things or it can be used for evil things. And I really believe kingdom people like us, Kayla, we're going to be on the cutting edge of things like artificial intelligence, not for the woo-woo and the ugly side, but hey, I want you to have 10 more hours to focus on what you love best. What if you figured out a way to do your content where you had those 10 hours? I'm sounding like a commercial, but I'm so passionate. It lights me up in my old age. Anyway, so where are you going with? I'm sorry, you just let me, you gave me a little window to get all charged up. So
I love it.
So they go to KaylaCardona.com or and then they'll get the sign up. Is that for the webinar?
Yes. So that's for the free webinar. So it's super easy. You just fill out your information and you automatically get the Zoom link to join tonight. Yeah.
And that leads to your coaching program, correct?
So that KaylaCardona.com leads to the free webinar. Now my coaching program is, again, it's going to be, so my official website is still under construction. Right. I know. Okay. But go to my bio in my Instagram bio, and then there's a link. And then when you click on that link, there's the free webinar, there's my 6-month coaching program, there's other interviews I've done, and then all the links to my social media platforms.
Awesome. That's so true. And that everyone knows, most everyone knows Instagram. I was almost going to bring up your link tree so people could see it.
There we go. Link tree. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me do something real quick. Get your pen out, please. Sound like a teacher. Get your pen out and then look up this stuff. Okay, Kayla, I'm going to show them all your stuff.
Oh,
well, I guess they got to click on it. So they're not going to, well, just go to her site. Okay, guys. All right. We're done there.
Awesome. Anyway, thank you.
I just love to, that's my heart really is my heart from a very young age is to help people harness the power of the internet, now AI, to really spread their message. And it's a kingdom message. Mm-hmm. I mean, for you to be able to come on here and talk about deliverance, you're talking about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. If that makes someone nervous, you just need to ask someone who's trustworthy. Hey, DM me. I'll tell you about it. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who's trustworthy because I had this time in my life where I thought we all need deliverance. Now I'm in this place where we all need therapy. Let's clean our stuff up from Devin. No, this is my friend has this line. I love it. It's from landmines to landmarks. So you're not explained. You're not a share of the landmines and you exploded because you got a landmark where out of my misery came my destiny. Mm. Out of my junk came freedom for someone else. Out of my testimony, God says, do it again. So I really believe you're going to, I'm just going to prophetically say this. I believe God has set you up on a stage because you so know it's not about you. And I believe that everywhere that your mouth is released, that women are going to do this. This is my heart. The women who feel voiceless because of trauma are going to discover transformation by finding their voice through identity, and they're going to speaking to the person they once were. So you, Kayla, are speaking to the people you once were. And you know what I hear? I hear chains breaking. Ooh, I got goosebumps all over. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. That's so beautiful. Finding your voice.
Because when you're in trauma and you're in mental stuff, you don't have a voice.
No. And I never... Teresa.
Yes, now you have found transformation. You're dealing with your junk. You've gone through deliverance. And now you're like, everywhere you go, you don't have to say the word identity. It's wound in us. But everywhere you go, you're releasing people to find their voice. And I love the idea that you don't just find it, but you speak. You know, I always say, what did you like to do in childhood? I'm going off on a tangent here. So you're a good example. When I was a child, climb up to the top of the stairs and preach. I was Catholic. It was a good homily. But then people will say, well, I had a terrible childhood. I said, that doesn't disqualify you. You get to be healed and transformed. And then you really do. You get to speak to the people you once were that were in the crap. So you are speaking to the people that were in the crud. Why I like to talk to people, because I grew up loving a microphone. It was just in my DNA, okay? Mm-hmm. Did I find trauma? Yeah, 26 years of it, of the wrong marriage. But what am I doing now? I'm doing like Kayla, getting on my stages, which are podcasts, and getting to join forces and cheer on the Kaylas out there. Really say, hey, wait, we need you. Keep speaking, because I can't speak to your crowd. Yeah. I am, though, because I'm getting to share you. So I say all that to say, this has been so freaking fun. This has been so
Thank you, Teresa. Yeah, you're such a light. Thank you.
And just say, hey, I'm a DM away. You know, prayer, anything. I know you have a support system, but believe me, girl, I've been praying for you since I've been watching Netflix Selling the OC. You made such an impact on Girl Power Alliance. That was our major leadership meeting, guys. And wow, that impacted so many people. And I was just fascinated. So I went to Netflix. I'm like, let me see what we got here. And I was like,
what are we working with?
I'm cheering you on. I'm like, oh, what did they do? They starved her and dumped a bunch of alcohol, tequila and something else. Yeah. That doesn't bother me. If you can push away anything, what you're going to see is a gold. So mm-hmm. I saw so much gold. So thank you for being willing to share your story here and just to set people free. Thank you so much.
All right.
You've been listening to Unleashing Kingdom Voices. Please share this with someone, not for a pat on the back, but so someone might get set free. Also, we appreciate when you write reviews, and we appreciate you so much. We'll talk to you in the next Unleashing Kingdom Voices podcast.